Okay, so I'm going to talk about Christian etiquette. In other words, this is politeness. Okay? So how do we behave ourselves? How do we conduct ourselves so that we're polite? Now, I've gathered things from school, from the professional world, and also tried to incorporate what we have to be like as Christians as well. So just as a little bit of background, what I'm going to talk about is a lot of this is cultural differences that aren't necessarily right or wrong. Yes, there are some things that are right. There are some things that are wrong. It's important to know the difference. Other things are not necessarily right or wrong. It depends on where you are and the situation you're in. So what I'm going to talk about is relating to us here in America and how people will view ourselves. And a lot of the things I'm going to say are things that a lot of people who are here don't even realize. People who grew up, went to high school, they won't get, oftentimes they'll miss some of the stuff that's mentioned here that you will find out later when you go into the professional world and get sent to etiquette school or the military officer training, that sort of thing. So at my school, we had to go through some etiquette training. The person who taught us was a person who was responsible for teaching etiquette to all of the officers in the U.S. Army. And what they said is that etiquette is very, very important for a person. And if a person knows the right way to behave themselves, it's obvious to other people who also know the right way to behave themselves. If somebody does not know how to behave themselves, somebody who knows understands immediately that that person doesn't know, but because of etiquette, because that person's polite, they will never mention it to you. Okay? So even if you don't follow what is typical professional etiquette here in the U.S., probably nobody will even tell you. So now is your chance to hear some of those things that even people that you interact with who are Americans might not realize or might not apply themselves to. All right. So proper etiquette is necessary for... So all of you should have a paper like this. And this is laid out in a typical one way that you can keep notes. And so the way that this works is that the central portion is for everything that we're going to talk about now. Later tonight or some other time, you'll fill in the left side of kind of what you think was said here in your own words. And then about a week later, you'll come back and write in the bottom what you want to do in your own life. So it's a very common way to take notes where there's a central part, a left column, and a bottom place. So that's kind of similar to what we have today. So proper etiquette is necessary for success. If you want to be successful, you need to know how to behave yourselves. And for us as Christians, we also need to know that. So some things, you know, you can do, but other people will realize that you're doing something not quite exactly right, and they'll take that, they'll remember that. They'll always remember that. They say that when you meet somebody, you have about 15 seconds before a person already forms in their mind an opinion about you. And in those first 15 seconds, this, what we're going to cover right now, is very important. So there was a person who went to my university, who actually teaches there now, who used to be the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. And when she was growing up, she's a black person. And when she was growing up, her parents told her to be very careful with her language, what she says. And their words to her was that she must always speak for success. She must not use the slang. She must not use the other things that often people who grow up in the same neighborhoods, the same situations, often use. It's the same thing for us as young people. So etiquette is necessary for our success. Number two, being polite does or does not mean that you agree and approve what a person does. Does not. Now, this is where a lot of people get it confused. They think, okay, if I'm polite to somebody, they'll think that I agree with them. Or they'll think that I think what they're doing is right, or things like that. No. Being politeness is on a separate level. Like, that's just something that people people need. All right. Now we come to the center in the bottom portion. You should have a triangle something like this. The very foundation of etiquette is in the middle here. And in the middle, that is that a person needs to have respect for other people. That's really the key point. And we see this in Genesis, right in the first chapter, Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So we as people are created in the image of God. But now here comes a question. We're created in the image of God, but does that mean everybody? Or are there some people which are closer to the image of God than other people? Are there some people who are worth more than not? How about where we come from? Our nationality, our language, our color of our skin. So if you're Mormon, interestingly, and there's a black person, African-American, in the Mormon religion, that person cannot have the same office, cannot be saved to the same level as a white person. It's interesting. That's what they say. If you're Muslim and you're a lady, you cannot have the same reward, you'll not have as high of a level in heaven as if you're a man. But for us as Christians, everybody, male and female, God created us in the image of God. And the foundation for our etiquette comes from respect in the middle. All right, now around respect, there are three different areas that we're going to touch on. The first is in the bottom left. This is character. So, number five here. Character includes the inner qualities of a person and not just their characteristics. This is something where often we get confused. We think that a person's character is how they look or things like that. No, a character is something that comes from inside, something that comes from their heart, something that they develop, and that is where this point comes from. Now, often character itself is developed when somebody is still at home. Like, you can find out a lot about a character of a person by asking their brothers and sisters, asking their parents. That's where the character starts with, often, is in the home. So that's the first area that we're going to talk about, is etiquette in the home. Now next, we move on to another area. Which causes problems. And this is, say somebody has character, but they don't have boundaries in their life. Boundaries separate different things. They separate what belongs to me, what belongs to you. They separate a lot of things in life, like how close does somebody speak to me? Things like that are wrapped up in boundaries. Interestingly, in college, the biggest number of problems among roommates comes from a lack of observing the boundaries between people. Somebody thinks, oh, I sleep in the same room as somebody, so therefore I can borrow his telephone whenever I want. And like slowly over time, as this happens, these boundaries get blurred, and people don't realize that in different situations, they're not allowed to do certain things, and they end up in trouble. So in our life, there are boundaries. It's often for us to think as Christians, oh, we live in a day of grace, like we don't need boundaries, but we have to keep reminding ourselves that in different situations, we do have boundaries. We still have boundaries, and those boundaries might change. All right. Now, this leads us to the second area where we need to have etiquette. That's at church. So we start with home, or the family, however you want to call it, and now we're going to move to the church. So there's a sphere of etiquette or behaviors that applies to us in church. All right. Now, the third area that's right around respect is how we act professionally. Okay? Now, this is often different from, say, how we act at home in some ways. Some ways it should be the same, but often there are different rules, different things that govern how a person acts professionally. And this leads us to the last group that we're going to study, which is work and school. And it's important to realize which area we're in so that we know what sphere, what rules of etiquette apply. Okay, a question for you to think about. Number four, a woman deserves less, the same, or more respect than a man. So somebody says less, somebody says more, somebody says the same. Okay, regardless of what the Bible says. Okay, I think they deserve more. But regardless of what the Bible says, professional America says that a woman deserves more respect than a man. So just remember that, that here in the U.S., that's the rule. All right, and finally, the last one, number six on this page. It says, number two, it does not. Being polite does not mean that you agree with a person. Oh, number five. Okay, character. The character of a person is something that's more than just how they look on the outside. That's something that's inward. All right, number six. What is a critical character quality for a polite person? So if a person is polite and they have character here, one of the foundational rules, I mean, of course we have respect, but another foundational rule of etiquette, of politeness, is having humility. That's when somebody does something to you that's not following the rules of etiquette, you don't tell them about it. You don't do things that make them be embarrassed. Okay. Now, if you look on the back page, you'll see the same triangle with the different areas. So fill in family, church, and work and school around that with respect in the middle. And we're going to talk about the areas that surround it. All right, so if we start with home. Yes. Number six, humility. Humility. Okay, so in the home, there are things, like ways that we have to show etiquette, and that includes respect for who lives in our home?
Parents, okay? Siblings, our brothers and sisters. Who else?
Okay. Brothers and sisters. Yeah, and maybe at some point.
What's that? Yes, exactly.
Who knows? So here we have respect for parents. That means being obedient to them, and it means understanding what their desire is, what their will is, and respecting that. Now, oftentimes, we might find ourselves in a situation where we don't agree or don't want to do what our parents might say. It's important to still show respect, to still be obedient, but you can appeal to them and ask them. All throughout etiquette, it's much better to ask than assume. Like, asking a question is wonderful. Oftentimes people, even if you know what the answer is, asking them a question helps the situation. But now, if they give you an answer after you ask the question, be sure that you follow it. There's some people who will ask a question and then get an answer and then go do the opposite. Like that doesn't work here. All right. Now, most of the time, we see this displayed in people helping each other. So there are certain families that you can look at, and you can see that the family works together for different things. And that's obvious. You can see that the family members respect each other. That there's not somebody who is in the family who is lazy or who doesn't do their share. It's really obvious when you come across somebody who's used to having everybody in the family around them do stuff for them, you can recognize that pretty quickly, who they are. That means that we behave ourselves in a situation like this. There's a really good book for young people in English, and it creates an analogy, a story of a family who is not a Christian, but within the family they have respect. And then a similar story that's of perhaps some of our families where we lack respect, we lack helping each other, we lack serving each other, and it's very obvious what the difference is for us. All right. Next, church. So what do we respect at church? God. All right, and pastors. God, pastors, members, people around us, that sort of thing. Number one is God. How do we show respect to God during the services? Reverence, yes. Leave the cell phone in the car, okay? What else? One thing that I'm really, really happy to see here is that when you guys are here during lessons, you're quiet. That's wonderful, unless we're having a discussion. That shows respect to God, as well as to a person who is leading a lesson. Now, also, something that we show respect to God for is by bringing our Bibles with us. It's wonderful for me to hear when somebody mentions a Bible passage that people open up their Bibles to that location. That's something that often I don't see in our church that I wish I did see. And you go to some other churches and you see that even those young children always bring their Bible, always look up the place where things are written. That shows respect to God. It means that you reverence him, that you take his word and you follow it. All right, you also read the Bible. You show respect to God by reading the Bible. If a person writes you a letter, like say an email or something from your boss or somebody you work with, and you know that you have a meeting with that person, of course you'll read the letter first before you go in and have a meeting with them. It'd be very rude or impolite if you just showed up at the door and said, oh, you wanted to see me, but you had never read what that person had wrote for you. It's the same thing with church. Like, we need to follow the Bible and read it in our own lives. Older people, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, like, these are how we need to think about people. An older person, think about them as a mother or a father at church. Show respect to them. Of course, the authority structure is slightly different, but you can still always show respect to them as people. For us as young people, recently in our church, we made a rule that none of our young people could park around our church building. You had to park outside on the gravel or in the far lots of the parking lot. And I was glad to see that, because for us as young people, we should be happy to give place to somebody who's older. And by allowing them to park close to the building and us walk, that's a good thing. Same thing when we go to stores, when we go other places. It never hurts us to walk as young people. And we show respect for other people when we do that. If you're in a service, offering somebody your seat is important if they're older. All right. Then, finally, one last thing. Volunteering. So some of the things I gathered from here were from several years that I spent working for a Christian ministry that's run by Bill Gothard. He's a person who has a lot of seminars, and I worked for 2 years for him in Texas. And he went through a lot of these things. And one thing that I will always remember is that they said, if you need somebody, if you need a volunteer, every single person should volunteer for that, to do that job, that task. You never know what it is ahead of time, but every person should volunteer. Because regardless of what it is, like cleaning the floor in the kitchen, cleaning the bathrooms, whatever, it's only for a couple minutes to a day, like not more than that. And yet, like it's important for us to offer ourselves to be used by God. So when we travel with the church, we have to be careful. We have to be sure that we conduct ourselves so that we're ready to serve others. All right. Now we come to work. Work and school. Now this is not it's not quite as direct for us as Christians. But professionally, I'm going to tell you what's expected. Expected at work. Always be 5 minutes. If you have hours that you work, you always come 5 minutes early from when you have to be there. And you always leave 5 minutes after the time that you needed to leave. So if you start work at 8, you will always be at work at 7:55. You leave work at 4. You always leave at 4:05. Like that's just the general rule. Okay, never, ever, ever spend time on the internet that's not related to work or school. With school, you're a little bit more free as a student. But this is actually something that you'll oftentimes find people doing. And it could be that there is one person who, when he'd start a computer program running, and when that computer program was running or processing, he had to wait for that program to finish. And often he'd have on the other screen, like some Google search page of something that he was interested in. And you look at that. Yes, no, his time spent, like he can't do something else. But when there were difficulties in the company and people had to be fired because they didn't have enough money, he was one of the first people to get fired. And you see that all the time. So you have to be careful. Like never, just watch yourself. All right. Now, in California, in many states in the U.S., we have what's called at-will employment. That means that your employer hires you, and this is, like, the professionals say that this is why the Silicon Valley is so successful, is because of rules like this. Here, an employer can hire you. If it's a private company, they can tell you what you do. If they don't like the shoes that you wear, they can fire you. Because they don't like your shoes. It's private. They can create their own dress codes and enforce them. And I've been at companies where that's true. There are dress codes, and you have to follow that. When you get to a place of employment where people are a little bit more conservative, such as banks or businesses or other places, then it even becomes more strict. Oftentimes, during the interview process, the interview viewer will never hire anybody that they think they might have to explain a dress code for. In professional America, the dress code means pants, dress shirt. A dress shirt for a guy means a subdued or dark color or white shirt, never anything colorful for a guy. For ladies, always a skirt and always a blouse. Like those are the dress code rules for professional people here. So it's important that you realize what those are, and if you go work for a place, like you will understand over time what really happens there. And like maybe it's okay to wear flip-flops into the office. But you'll find that out later. Don't show up to the interview and then never get a job there when you would have been fine if you had been careful. By the way, ladies, if you ever wear perfume, your employer and you can be sued if it smells too strong. And it's happened. So, like, be careful. Like, you always have to be careful that you behave yourself in a way that's professional. All right. Finally, work and school. We were taught. To do the opposite of a lot of young people in America today. A lot of young people kind of float through their teenage years, think, oh, I'll just do this, and not really know where they're doing, what they want to do, or what they like doing, or go out to the park. We're taught to always have a purpose in life. Always. For us, when I was in Texas, we were never allowed to walk outside. You had to have a purpose. You had to be going somewhere, and you better be running or jogging there. Inside, you can walk. That shows that you have a purpose, that your life has purpose to it. And that's obvious in people's life. If they're just, how they sit, for example, or how they stand, or what they're busy with, what they're working for. All right, in the few minutes that are left, I'm going to talk about, yes? No, so in Texas, I was working with this ministry from Bill Gothard. And for us, yes, we were not allowed to walk around. It's not like a state law. It was like for us as Christians. And anyway. I'm not saying that you have to run outside. I'm just saying that your life has to have purpose. Like, you have to know what you need to be doing and do it. All right, this brings us to three more areas that I want to briefly cover. And those are at the boundaries between these sections. So on the back page here, the first thing we're going to look at is, say, between home and church. So right up in this area, we're going to talk about visiting other people or hosting other people. Okay? Now, this, for us as Christians, we're a lot more lenient. Like, we don't care as much about this. And that's good. We need to show everybody, the grace that God has for us as well. But yet, it's important to know the etiquette of what's expected. All right. In professional America, you always call first, you never show up. And you always call far enough in advance for a person to know that you're going to be coming to the area, and you don't invite yourself. It's really funny, because you'll call up somebody and say, okay, I'm going to be in the area because I'm going to be at this conference. And you see, like, do they invite you or not? If they don't invite you, then that's fine. You call somebody else. But if they do, then they invite you. You don't invite yourself. In professional, like in the U.S., like, you never call anybody after 9 o'clock at night. It's just a standard rule. After 9 o'clock, you don't call. When you go visit somebody in professional America, you don't have to bring anything with you. Like, for us, we're often, if we go visit somebody, we bring chocolates or something for them, flowers, whatever. But here, no, if somebody's invited you, you have done them, like, once they've invited you, just you showing up is great. Like, that's what's good enough. So don't worry about bringing stuff with you, but do use a lot of words like please, thank you. Birthday parties. That's a different topic. We'll discuss later if you guys are interested. But the etiquette there is slightly different. All right. When you sit at a meal, you're sitting at a table. Who sits? Okay, there's a person on your right side and a person on your left side when you're sitting at a table. If you respect somebody more, which side do they sit on? Right side. Perfect. Good. And that means that if you're sitting at a table and there's somebody who's above you on your right side, you're their servant. So remember that. Okay? Now, no, this is actually important to know what you have to do. All right. Now, one more thing. Showing respect to ladies. You never, ever, ever start eating until the lady who's the host starts first. Like, even if there's the boss of a company there and he starts eating, you never start eating until the lady does first. So just remember that. If there's no lady, then it's the oldest person. And you know it's ready to start. You're ready to start eating when he takes bread and breaks a piece of it. It actually kind of goes back in some similarities to, like, the Lord's Supper, where Jesus took bread and broke it, probably some customs back at that time. But anyway, here in professional America, the signal that you can begin eating is when, like, your slice of the hostess takes a slice of bread and breaks it open and starts your meal. All right. Don't ask for things that are not on the table. I think this is obvious. But I was just guest at somebody's house not too long ago, and there were some young brothers with us. And we had just sat down to eat. It's like, oh, do you have salt? Oh, yeah, I forgot salt. Runs, grabs salt. Oh, do you have ketchup for this? Oh, yeah, we have ketchup. Brings ketchup. Oh, can we have an extra spoon? runs, grabs an extra spoon. Oh, can I have juice? Like 9 or 10 different things were like left from the table that we happened to ask for in the process of the meal. Like that's fine. Like maybe the soup doesn't have salt in it. Just eat it anyway. You'll still survive. Okay. Then help clean up. Be sure that you help clean up. It's really important that you help clean up, regardless of whether you're a guy or a girl in professional America. Grab your dish, show initiative. Don't worry about asking first. Just try to do something that can help. And then, finally, in professional America, you don't have to bring a gift with you. But one thing that you always, always, always have to do is write one of these and send it. It's a thank you card. Like, that is expected. Not an email, not a phone call, but a handwritten card thanking somebody. All right. So I'm going to stop there with those areas. All right, meetings, classes. Say you're in class. It's kind of a between church and work. Here, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. Okay? So make sure that you're at least a half a minute early to everything. Always, 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 when you come to a church or a meeting, you sit in the front and fill backwards. This goes back to volunteering. Like, a lot of people don't like to sit in the front, and they think they want to sit in the back. But no, you always respect the people who come in late by leaving them space in the back and filling from the front backwards. This is something that was actually surprisingly drilled into us at our university. When we first came to my school, they made sure that we knew that we started from the front and sat to the back. Never ever sleep during class or church. All right, if you're falling asleep, that's okay if you're sleepy. You stand up, walk to the back, and stand. You can respectfully stand in the back, and when you fall asleep when you're standing, well, that's very embarrassing, and everybody knows. So you'll find out. So stand up. Take notes. And pay attention. All right. Raise your hand if there's a question. It's simple, but we all know it. All right? And lean forward and listen to other people. Now, something that's similar that happens here. When you get into a car, where do you sit? You sit in the front. Okay, the driver's seat. Okay, if you're the driver, that's okay. If you're not the driver, you always start in the back of the car and work forward. The next time you get in the car, maybe you'll be in a different order and you'll sit in a different seat. All right, in professional America, and you have a car, and surprisingly, like, I had to learn this. And like you'll recognize if people know this or not from school. But it's interesting. So you're in a car. And there are 3 seats in the back. Okay? You have somebody who's the boss of the company. You have a lady, and you have yourself. All to get in these 3 back seats. Which order do you put them in? Who cares? Okay. All right. Who gets the most respect of those 3 people? The lady. Yes, exactly. The lady does. Who gets the next? The boss. Yes. And you? You're the last one. Yes. Okay. So you're the least of the people, right? So where do you go? If you're getting in from the side, you get in first. You get in first. The youngest people always get in first and always sit away. So you would sit here, the boss would sit here, and the lady would sit here. The highest ranking person always is the last person to get in and the first person to get out in general. It's the same thing at meetings. So also, if in professional America, if you're walking along a road and there's somebody who's a boss or a lady and the road is over here, the person who's younger or less like respectful always stands close to the road. It's true. Because a car might come and run over them, and that's fine. Because they're like, you know, you're me. But if there's somebody who you show respect to, they're always to the right. If you are in a meeting or class or working, and somebody comes to you who's more respectful, like a lady or a boss, You always, always, always stand up. Always. Then if they, even if you don't stand up, you have to start, like, make the motion as if you're going to stand up. If they say it's okay, you can stay seated, then you can stay seated. But you never, ever are in the presence of somebody who walks and addresses you sitting down. It's the same thing when people ask questions in class. Somebody asks a question of you, you stand up. Or if you ask a question, you stand up, ask the question. You wait to sit down until the person who you're asking it from finishes. When they finish, then you sit down. Okay. Now you think that this is all small rules. Yes. Okay, I'm just saying, like, professional America, like, this is what's expected. I don't know about your school. Okay, so in your school, like, if you stand up to ask a question, people think you're weird. It's up to your teacher. But, like once you actually work in a job, be sure you do that. And if your boss always says to sit down, then maybe it doesn't matter as much. Yes. I don't know what the difference is, but like, I'm just talking for professional America. All right, to wrap up, last area here is on this side. Work and school. This is how we greet and meet other people. All right, in professional America, be sure that you smile. Like, this is something that, unfortunately, we have to get used to it. And oftentimes, people will smile even if they really don't feel like smiling. That's the way it is. All right. If I'm shaking hands with somebody, let me see. Here, Alex, come up here. I'm going to shake hands with Alex. Okay? When he comes up to me, I reach out my hand, and I grip his hand, and you have to give a firm handshake. Okay? Now, how do you give a firm handshake without breaking his hand? All right? This is actually important, because you'll know. All right, you have your fingers like this. You squeeze as hard as you can between the fingers here and here. So you squeeze tight this direction, not this direction. Okay? So here, we shake hands. All right, now if a lady comes up, what happens? In professional America. What's that? No, not necessarily. All right. So if a lady comes up, here, Alex, come up to me. All right, you can sit down. Somebody else, come on. Sorry. Okay, so now I'm meeting, I'm meeting her. And what do? I shake hands. What's that? Who gets more respect from us? She does. What does that mean? That means that if she never gives her hand for me to shake, I have no right to shake it. And it's happened. People have reached out their hand like this, and the lady won't shake it at all, and it's embarrassing. No, it's true. Like, pay attention. Okay, but now if she reaches out her hand first, then I can reach and shake it. See, so I can shake it at that point. All right, the same thing goes with older people. And now, I realize that the culture might be different in professional America than it might be in perhaps what we're used to from church. But if there's somebody who's older or more respectful, you do not have the right to shake their hand. You have to wait for them to want to shake your hand. So if I come up to a pastor, I can't shake his hand. He has to shake my hand first in professional America. Same thing with a lady. So just remember that. All right. Personal space. There is a sphere around somebody that you have to respect. If I don't know somebody very well, I'm not going to stand very close to them. And you'll immediately recognize people who don't understand this. Oftentimes when people get drunk or things like that, if you've talked with them, like, they'll be talking right in your face. Right? And that's not very nice. That's not very very correct according to the rules of etiquette. So be sure that you maintain your distance and you, yes. If well, yeah, I mean, maybe you'll know, maybe you're kind of at the same level, and then which point? Oh, an older person. So in professional America, the correct way to do it is to smile and nod, but never give your hand. Because if you give your hand, it means that you think that they're lower than you. So just remember that. All right. If you write out name tags with your name on it, where does it go? Over here. Where your heart is on the left side, on your right side. Just a small thing, but remember that. Because if somebody's shaking my hand, then they can see my name tag. Small, but important. All right. I'm not going to go into the other details about professional because I don't think we'll have time for that. What's that? So seeds, sunflower seeds. This goes back to the point where we have boundaries. Certain things are accepted and perfectly fine in some situations, and they're not in other situations. Okay? So things like chewing gum and spitting gum out, chewing seeds and spitting seeds out, does not work for things like public places, park, that sort of thing, if it's a place which has like a groomed area, so like a sidewalk or inside any sort of building or close to that. Outside, like in the grass, it's probably okay. The other thing is that as a guy especially, if we're walking along, like I never, ever, ever have the right to spit in public. Okay? It's the same thing with blowing our nose. Like we don't blow our nose in public onto the ground or wherever. Like that's just something that we don't do. And this sort of thing, it seems obvious to us, right? But yet, things happen. So seeds are something that's important. Yes? Yeah, so you might cover half the name. On the other hand, oftentimes people who you shake hands with are slightly offset to the side that you shake their hand with. So in other words, if I'm standing here shaking somebody's hand, often they'll be a little bit to my right. Often. You still wear it on the right. According to like professional etiquette in America, you wear it on the right. On your shoulder? Well, okay. All right. As young people, there are boundaries to some things, but often when we go to nature or other places, one rule is that you never, ever, ever step over garbage, and you always leave a place better than you've come. So the same thing kind of goes with seeds, right? I mean, it's fine if you collect them up afterward, sweep them up, and then throw them out. But, like, who spends the time to do that, right? So, you know, like, just be discreet where you do it. And some of these things, like, it doesn't matter here at camp. Like, we're together, we understand each other. But as soon as we go out for evangelism, as soon as we go out into the professional America, we have to conduct ourselves in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ. And people will recognize that, and they'll appreciate that. There's a lot more, but I don't want to get into all of it. In professionalism, everything is a lot more subdued than you might expect. So, for example, at the Institute, if I disagree with somebody, I'll stand up and I'll state why I disagree with them. I'll never argue with that person. All right? Things like this, like anything that happens in the professional world, if you multiply it by like 100 times, is what you might find outside on the street or with common, you know, normal people. We might shout at each other. We might do things that you would never, ever, ever see in a professional world. So be very careful that we ourselves never attack somebody. There's an American person who actually is very good at debating. And in his debates, he'll often attack somebody else. And that's not for us as Christians. Number one, debates rarely do anything. Oftentimes, if I'm debating, I want everybody to think that I know what's right. The person I'm debating also wants everybody to think that he's right. And the people who sit and listen to it, they'll choose their side, and it's almost never that somebody switches their side because of a debate. This is something that there's somebody who's called Ravi Zacharias, who's somebody from India who actually is very good at explaining some biblical things. He is very good at explaining and very good at showing what's right, but often he will not enter a debate because of this issue. As Christians, we also have to be careful that we don't attack a person. We might disagree with what they say. We might not go along with whatever it is. But yet, attacking the person is not for us as a Christian. So this is kind of the basics, the three areas that we have to remember. This is for success in our life. And a lot of it seems like small things. A lot of it seems like little rules that we're kind of confining ourselves to. We think, oh, we live in America. It's a free country. I can wear whatever shoes I want to work. That's not true if you work for a private employer. So be careful. And if you know how to fit in, you'll quickly see people who don't follow the rules of etiquette. And you'll also, it'll be obvious to you the people who do and who respect that. Because they'll understand that you are somebody who has politeness. And this all stems from the respect of other people. We need to respect other people because we are created in the image of God, especially us as Christian young people. I'm so excited when I come to a situation and somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, because of how the youth behaved, I changed my thinking. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes somebody comes up and says, who are you? You know, why are you behaving this way? After youth conference in springtime a year and a half ago, several of our churches went with a group to Black Butte Lake in Northern California. When we arrived, they called extra police and extra rangers to watch us. It's true. After we left, you youth were good at cleaning up after yourselves. You behaved yourselves properly during that time. And I spoke with the ranger as we left. And she said, I thought that it would be entirely different. I thought that you would come, that we'd have problems, and we called these other rangers, we called these policemen to come and watch and sit there the whole time and watch you guys, and there were no problems. And it was an opportunity that I could explain about the Bible, about why we are a church group. She said, yes, we have church groups that come other times too, and we always have problems. But if you can be different, then people will recognize that, and that's what honors and glorifies God. So if you have any other questions, feel free to put them in the box for questions, or we can discuss it later. You can always email me. Some of the things, you have to distinguish what's necessary for a Christian and what's necessary in the professional world. Yes, one final question.
Are you going to get to the words?
I'll take 2 minutes. Okay. Yes. Words to avoid in the bottom middle. Now, this goes back to what was told to Condoleezza Rice when she was young. Make sure that your speech is proper. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. If we don't understand, like if we didn't grow up from children speaking a different language, and we learn to speak that, you need to avoid these words even more. Because what happens is that somebody tries to use slang, like you know what slang is, right? It's like a word that's kind of street language. Like if somebody doesn't have the accent exactly right for the street language, it becomes 100 times more funny to people around you than if you're talking regular. So in language class, regardless of what it was, they always teach that you never, ever, ever use slang if it's a different language. And I'm sure that you guys have learned that in language classes as well. But so you avoid that. And that's just from the side that, you know, people will laugh at it. From the Christian side, we need to avoid it because it's what people use who don't understand God. It's what people use who are not respectful. they're not respectful for their parents, then a lot of these words come from that. Modified swearing. Modified swearing are words that you take, like, God's name, the name of God or something else, and you change it just a little bit. So you're not actually saying it, but everybody knows what you mean. Okay? Some of the other things that are listed here. For example, heck. Right? Everybody knows what that comes from. Everybody knows what you mean to say without saying it. So just avoid it. And if you have other questions about words like this, just ask. And I'll be happy to tell you if it's a word that I use or don't use. But it's just important for us to always make sure that our speech is clear. Even if you're around people who don't speak that way, they'll never look down on you for using proper words. All right, that's it. Let's stand to pray.